Welcome to Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, with your host, Devin Anthony. Welcome to the latest edition of Breaking It Down with D'Anthony. I got a guest on the show today, his first time on the episode. Say what's up, Ethan.
Yo, what's good?
Ethan is a diehard Warriors fan.
Yes, sir.
Tell him a little bit more about yourself, Ethan.
Myself? Personally, I was born out there in the Bay. You know, that's why I'm a fan. Moved out here when I was like about two. We're in Las Vegas. I'm a baseball player, you know, I'm just pretty chillax, president of Gorman, and yeah, it's basically me.
Yes, it's going to be a great show today. I had to get a Bias Warriors fan on the show. It's only right. So I think we just got to dive into it. So game six, Clay, man, yeah, he didn't show up. You guys still won.
No.
What'd you kind of think about, you know, he's been getting a lot of hate. You know, I've been seeing the comments about all the posts about him celebrating and stuff. They're like, Clay, you didn't even do anything. How do you kind of feel about that?
You know, honestly, people who hate on Clay are just like fake NBA people, you know? Like, Clay, after coming off of two major injuries like that, like, and just going back all the way to the finals, helping the team throughout the whole playoffs. Like, that's just one game. Like, think about that. Game six, you know, obviously he didn't play up to par even. But, you know, he still played great throughout the whole entirety of the playoffs. And even towards the end of the regular season, he was playing out of his mind. I think the last game he dropped, like, of the regular season, dropped like 32, and then that helped him push through the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. Like, he's still a really good defender. I mean, I don't think he's the top defender on that team anymore. I think that's either Draymond or Wiggins. But yeah. I mean, it's not like Clay was like horrible. You know, he still averaged 17.
Yeah.
He had a positive plus minus. You know, I mean, he shot 100% from the line, which is something no other player did in this NBA Finals. He didn't go to the line that much, but still pretty impressive. He shot 35% from three compared to Steph's 44. So, I mean, obviously Steph was the man. He deserved his finals MVP. It was his year. The only thing that he pretty much didn't win this year was the actual regular season MVP. He won the All-Star Game MVP. He won the Western Conference Finals MVP. Obviously we know that he won the NBA Finals MVP. And then, of course, the ultimate goal, that Larry O'Brien championship trophy. You know, there's no arguing whether you're a Steph hater, you're a Steph lover, that he took over and he was a man on a mission this year. And I think that he just had, like, a lot of people said, you know, he didn't really have that much to prove. He's got three rings, and then there's a whole other group of people that, like, he's got to get that Finals MVP.
Yeah.
You can't be the man on your team and, you know, have three rings and not win one Finals MVP. I mean, granted, you could say KD kind of stole two of those from him. Did the Warriors even need KD? I don't know. We can talk about that later in the show. And obviously, Iguodala just had the finals of his life guarding LeBron James in 2015.
Yeah.
But I think this is something Steph Curry needed. I think that's something the Warriors understood as well, in terms of, you can just tell, whether it's just Draymond setting him a screen or something. They're running double screens for Steph. Like, not only he wanted it, but the team wanted it for him as well, which I think is what made them so great. Because Steph had a couple off games. Game five wasn't the sharpest.
I feel like that was like really the only off game.
And they still won.
Yeah.
So do you think, you know, after this finals performance from Steph Curry, is he officially top 10 player of all time?
Officially, no doubt, he's got to be top 10 of all time. Even before, personally, I know a lot of people disagree, before, I'd honestly put him at top 10 even before finals. This just shows how great he already was. Like, even with KD, he didn't have finals MVP because there's so many double teams with KD, and he still averaged high 20, like 28 points per game during those finals. He's honestly just top 10. Just leave it at that.
I agree with you that, here's the thing. There's very few players who have played in the National Basketball Association who have changed the way that the game is played. You can go to any pickup park, and you can see little 9, 10-year-olds just chucking up threes. Whose fault is that?
That's
Steph Curry.
All Steph.
And, you know, is Steph gonna take the blame for that? You know, maybe. He kind of knows it as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's like, even if you're a big, it's rare to see big men in the league that can't shoot, that can't shoot a three. Like, you have to be able to shoot in this league now. And I think that's, Steph kind of revolutionized the game in that way. And there's very few players who have, I think, have revolutionized the game. You could talk about point guard wise, you can talk about the three guys would be Magic Johnson, Allen Iverson, and Steph Curry.
Yeah. Those, I mean, I could agree with that. I'll agree with that.
Here's the thing. For me, it's going to take one more for Steph Curry to be
top 10.
He's top 10 to be better than that, to be the best point guard of all time. If you're giving me, okay, what's the greatest starting five of all time? I'm putting Magic a point guard.
Really?
Because he's a true point guard.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, Steph Curry is a great scorer, don't get me wrong, and he sees the game like no, you know, like few others do. But when you talk about just, you know, being that number one, being that point guard, I think that still it's Magic Johnson's the greatest
thing,
of all time.
Everyone overlooks his other stuff.
Steph can prove me wrong. I think they win again next year, they go back to back, he wins another finals MVP. You know, he's got 5 rings right up there with Magic, who also had 5. I think he probably will cement himself as the greatest point guard of all time. But until then, you know, I think it's good for Steph Curry. He's still got a chip on his shoulder. Obviously, he's going to believe he's the best of all time, but, you know, he's definitely a guy that listens to the critics, and he's open about that. So I think it's something to further motivate him to, you know, to win another ring next year. If I had to list you my top 5 right now, it'd probably be Magic at the 1, MJ at the 2. I'd go with Kobe, LeBron, and Kareem. That's my 5.
All right. I'll give you my top 5. I'm going to give you Steph at the 1.
Okay.
MJ at the 2. Then at the 3, LeBron.
Okay.
And at the 4, we're going to put Giannis at the 4.
Giannis, okay.
All right. Giannis will end up being the greatest player of all time, in my opinion.
Okay.
He's super young. But anyways, all right. And at the 5, I'm going to put... Give me Shaq at the 5. Shaq,
all right, yeah, that's a good 5.
That's pretty tough to beat.
It's a more modern 5 for sure.
Yeah.
It's funny. I saw a quote today. It was like Kareem still got the most points in the league, and
I've seen that.
You know,
I've seen
he never shot 3. So I mean,
he made like 1 3 his whole career.
So yeah. I mean, Steph revolutionized the game. There's no arguing that. But you know, at the end of the day, everyone's still got, you know, something to prove. Besides maybe Jordan, because he won 6, Bill Russell won 11. So LeBron's definitely got something to improve upon. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Definitely. But what the Warriors did this year, I think it was, for you as a fan, you got to say that this is probably, you know, the most rewarding ring that they've won.
It's got to be. It definitely was one of the top best feelings, because all the hate that came coming into the season, just throughout the season, oh, they're not going to do this, they're not going to do it this year, because of all the injuries, we're just going through it, all that. And then just to win it feels so great, honestly.
You know, for a while, from like 2015 to 2019, it felt like the Warriors were just going to be an ongoing dynasty. And then they were arguably one of the worst teams in the league for 2 years. I mean, that the bubble year, they didn't even make it to the bubble. They were that bad. And then the year after, they lost that final play-in game to the Grizzlies. And I don't think anyone ever doubted that the Warriors weren't going to be back in the playoffs. I just don't think a lot of people expected that they were going to go ahead and win the whole thing.
They just forgot how good we really were.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not a Warriors fan, but I remember last year I was talking to my dad and I said, Klay's coming back. This is a Warriors team that's been motivated, that are motivated as they've ever been. Yeah. And I think, why not? You know, yeah. Steph's not that old yet. I mean, he'll get there in the next 3 or 4 years. Same with Klay, but it truly
championship DNA.
You know, everyone. You know, running a really good NBA franchise, it's not going to be, you know, just straight success for 8 or 9 years. It's a roller coaster. Yeah, so you know, the Warriors. You know, you win your first ring 2015. That was awesome for them. 2016, obviously, as a fan, you don't want to talk about that. You know, you win back to back rings with KD. Lose a tough series, which, you know, a lot of your guys were injured against the Raptors, and then you had 2 off years, and then come back and probably win the most rewarding ring out of those 4. Wrong. And so, I think in terms of how well this franchise is run, what that front office has done, Like, there's no arguing that they're the best.
It's phenomenal.
In the league,
yeah.
At what the front office does. And the way that they've built through the draft is like
six of their players this year.
Like, it's insane.
The
because
championship team.
Because you're getting young guys into the rotation. You know, Kuminga didn't play that much during the finals. Yeah, some of it was garbage minutes, but he's still out there. Like, you can still say that he played in NBA finals and he won a ring. So, and like, and that's going to be huge for the Warriors in you know, 4 or 5 years when Kuminga's signing a new contract, you're like, you know what, you're the man. He's like, I've been here before. I know what it takes to win a ring. Like, it just feels like they keep cycling through great players. And like, everyone that team was through the draft besides Wiggins.
Yeah.
You know, at least core players on that team. I mean, Iguodala, I don't really count Iguodala like that. Obviously, he wasn't drafted by the Warriors, but he's been someone who's been there for a really long time.
Has been
a part of that core, won all four rings with Steph and Klay and Draymond. But to draft, I don't think there's ever been a big three, you know, maybe besides San Antonio, who, you know, that's just
been so dominant.
The team's just drafted that well.
Yeah.
Usually you have to build these big threes, you know, through free agency or something like that. But like, what you saw with Miami, you know, bringing in Bosch, bringing in LeBron for D Wade.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great big three, but it wasn't built through the draft, and it only lasted for like 3 years. What this big three has done over the past seven years since 2015 or 2022 now, like, there's still the favorites to win next year in 2023. That could be 8 years. Like, it really is remarkable, what the Warriors front office is doing. And you know, there's been a lot of chatter about people, Steve, this isn't necessarily because of Steve Kerr. This is because of the great players that he gets to coach, not necessarily because of him as a coach. A lot of people thought that firing Mark Jackson wasn't fair to him, and that Mark Jackson could have done the same thing with this team. But I don't
know.
Like,
I don't know.
Steve Kerr won. I think he won 3 or 4 rings as a player. And now has won 4 rings as a coach.
Five rings as a player. 9 rings in total.
So like he's played with arguably the greatest player to ever play in the NBA, Michael Jordan. He knows what it's like to win. And you know, I just don't understand why some people discredit him.
Yeah, people don't give Steve Kerr enough credit, honestly. Coming in first year and winning a ring, that's tough to do. That is really tough to do. And then to stay consistently good for the next, like, what, 5 years? And then, well, 2 years off, and then freaking winning it the next year? Like, that's remarkable, honestly. It's great coaching out there.
I think he kind of really buys in and pushes for that, you know, developing a young core as well around a couple of veteran players. And it's not like anyone in the Warriors besides Iguodala is that old. Like,
yeah.
It makes me want to laugh to think, you know, because obviously I'm a Lakers fan, that I legitimately believe that the Lakers were going to have a chance to make a run based on the team that they built. The Warriors just proved
they were
that
looking really scary at the start of the season.
The Warriors just proved that that's simply how you built a team, and the Lakers proved that that's not how you build a team. Is that you're not going to do well when you get your big three is all three guys that you got from free agency or a trade, and you surrounded them with veteran minimum players who are on $2 million, $3 million a year contracts, who are old, washed, and don't want to play defense. And it just shocks me that that's what they thought was going to work. It simply, like, you look at the Grizzlies, right?
Yeah.
That's a team that probably could have pushed the Warriors another game or two if Ja Morant had stayed healthy, which is something that's really hard to do with how well the Warriors played this year. And it looks like out of all the teams that the Warriors played, that the Grizzlies honestly gave them the best run for their money. I think it would have been a different story for the Celtics had Jason Tatum let the pressure get to his head.
Yeah,
but
team to play would probably have been completely different finals.
But in able to have a successful team, you have to – I've said this countless times before. You have to have – you know, it's rare to be able to keep three really good players. I mean, Draymond's an all-star, and he's proved himself, but he's not a scorer. Like, he's just considered up there because everything else he does. So I think legitimately you need to have two top scorers who are your top stars, and surround them with a lot of good young players who are going to play defense. And that's just simply what the Lakers did not have this last year. Like, look at the Suns, for example. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, two good young stars. You know, pair them with a good veteran point guard. And then you got young guys like Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, Campaign, like guys who are going to really hustle on both sides of the floor. That's why they were right there in it last year, too. Even the Bucks, like Middleton, Giannis, two great stars surrounded with a good young team. Yes. Drew Holiday, who plays, you know, who's one of the best defensive players in the league. So, like, you got to have a team that's going to lock in defensively and also two guys who are going to score the ball. And that's why the Celtics got to the finals this year, you know.
The best defense in the league.
Exactly. Marcus Smart was that guy defensively. You had Tatum and Brown. You know, both.
Even Horford.
Even Horford. So, you got to have shooters. You know, it's all about if you're a good 3-and-D player, you're going to get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're not going
to
get.
In today's league, 3-and-D, that's pretty much the key to winning.
Exactly. Yeah, and you got to have, I think, two big stars for sure. So I think, you know, hats off to the Warriors. They deserved it this year. I think way more than any other team. You know, credit to the Celtics. They are right there. But I think that they just don't have that experience yet. Not one player on that team was combined had played a single NBA Finals game. I think it was like the margin was like 0 to Warriors had over 150 games in the finals experience between all of them combined. So I think Wiggins was a huge pickup. I think that's that was a very underrated move for the Warriors at the time that happened. And think about like what that trade was. Like they gave up D'Angelo Russell and some people were like, you know, you should have gave him more time. Feels like a blur. Like what was D'Angelo Russell doing on the Warriors? Like why was that ever
that
needed?
That was a weird time.
Wiggins, like, I think really proved himself this year. A lot of people, you know, thought, including myself, thought it was pretty funny when he was named an all-star starter, which, you know,
controversial.
But he proved himself. He definitely deserved to be an all-star this year. He's definitely one of the top players, top, you know, 25 players in the league. The way he just gets it done defensively. You know, he was huge. He was huge in game six.
Even offensively.
He was huge in game six. You know, he averaged more than Clay during the finals. He averaged 18. Clay averaged 17. You know, he was huge defensive.
He's putting up big rebounds. Too.
Yeah, averaged almost. He averaged the most rebounds for the Warriors. Almost nine. Kevon Looney right behind. Looney was huge too. Jordan Poole, another guy that went through the G League. The Warriors drafted. He shot the ball well throughout the playoffs. Kind of gave them that extra spark. You know, he wasn't great defensively, but he was still a lot of energy for them offensively and really, you know, was great to give Steph a breather. Even in game six, like it felt like, why is Steph still on the bench? Cause Jordan Poole was doing his thing. Steve Kerr just let him play. So, it's just such a great mix of players. And like, honestly,
it all came together at the right time. Just all glued together. We all peaked at the right time and just like, it just happened just like that.
I mean, no matter what team you played, whether, you know, if it was the Bucks that ended up making the finals or it was the Heat, I think that, you know, I'm jealous, man. You guys had a really good team this year.
Yeah, so. We're just looking really, really tough to beat.
So, you know, if you're the Celtics, you know, it's a pretty rough fan base. I'm sure they're not happy with the performance of their number one star, who they probably don't even consider the number one star right now. They probably think Jaylen Brown's their guy.
Jaylen Brown would have definitely gotten the MVP if they won it, if I'm thinking.
100%, yeah. He averaged 23.5. Jason Tatum averaged 21.5. But the big thing was turnovers from Jason Tatum. That was the big thing throughout the playoffs. If he started to be ball dominant, for sure, that's kind of just the way he plays. You know, he likes taking the ball up sometimes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything kind of revolves around him. And for someone to be turning the ball over as much as he did, pretty much averaging four turnovers a game, that's just giving a Warriors team that shoots the ball so well more opportunities to score.
And that was
kind of the difference. Like, yeah. I think there was a stat where anytime the Celtics had, I think it was over 15 or 17 turnovers in a game, they lost every single time. You're not gonna win a game when you turn the ball over. You're not gonna win a game when you're not playing well defensively either. Like, you have to have both. And even, you know, even if you are playing defensively, but you still have 25 turnovers, you're gonna get gassed defensively because your guy's jumping up the court and you're losing the ball within 10 seconds and you find yourself back on defense again. So it kind of goes hand in hand. But I mean, if you're the Celtics, Yes, you are looking at a strong Eastern Conference next year. Middleton probably coming back for the Bucks, so I think they'll probably be the favorite next year.
Bucks.
I'm assuming Miami will pretty much bring everyone back. There's been rumors that Donovan Mitchell could head over there, which would make them even more scary. I don't even know how that would work with him and Jimmy Butler, but that could be pretty good as well. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Bucks Warriors finals next year. That's my prediction right now.
Yeah. I would not be surprised either if the Heat were in the finals again.
Honestly,
it was one shot away. Just one shot away of Heat going to the finals.
Yeah, so
if they add new pieces like Donovan Mitchell, that's tough to beat. That's a tough to beat team.
Legitimately, I think Golden State either would have swept Miami or beat them in five, because seeing the way that Miami played against Boston, Jimmy Butler was really cold between games three and six, just wasn't himself at all. And you can kind of do that against Celtics team, because Jason Tatum was also struggling at times. And both are defensive minded teams. But for Miami, if Jimmy Butler wasn't averaging over 33, I think, if that was what had been in the finals against the Warriors, they would have got swept.
Really?
That's my opinion, because look, they're a great young team that really values playing defense. But if your leading scorer just has nights where he just is cold, that nothing can go down. Almost every other game, and Jimmy Butler just wasn't very consistent in that Celtics series. That's ultimately why Miami wasn't there. I think Boston was very fortunate for that. Maybe it is one more piece for the Celtics. Maybe it's bringing in Bradley Beal, making a trade for that. I think they need a true point guard. Marcus Smart's great, but he's not as good on the ball as
he'd be great coming off the bench.
Right.
As a big defensive spark.
Right, giving more energy on the court.
They need another scorer out there.
Don't get me wrong, Derek White stepped up. He was awesome in game one.
Oh yeah, I hated him. Personally.
He was awesome in game one, but it wasn't this is the guy that's gonna take the Celtics to the promised land. It's Derek White.
He's just not gonna be the difference maker. You just can't ask this nobody G Leaguer to just step up like that. I haven't even heard about Derek White until the finals, and then he just pops off game one. That was kind of scary to see, honestly. As a Warriors fan, I was like, wow, who even is this guy? And he's killing us. And then you think about it, it's like, oh, who even is this guy? There's no way he's going to play like that again. And he didn't. He just didn't.
If I'm the Celtics, honestly, bringing back Rondo wouldn't be a horrible idea, because at least he can facilitate the ball, can get Tatum going a little bit more, so Tatum doesn't have to do everything on his own.
It's getting pretty old, though.
Yeah, Rondo's also been all around the league. But that's what they thought about him, too, when he came back to the Lakers and then ended up winning the ring. So
that is true.
In 2020. So, I mean, it goes both. Even without Horford, people thought that was a crazy move to bring him back, and he was arguably one of their best players during the finals. So,
he played really good.
I think if you're the Celtics, don't panic.
They're going to make another deep run next year.
You still have two of the best players in the league right now, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, both just lethal scorers, also play pretty well defensively. I think Tatum shouldn't let all the pressure get to his head, kind of just got to get better in the offseason. And let this motivate him rather than bring him down, because that would be, that'd be a horrible thing to see as a basketball fan, is something like this to let such a great player, bring him down. So we're talking about the Lakers a little bit. There's been a lot of rumors lately about Russell Westbrook. There's been rumors since the season ended about Russell Westbrook from them moving on from him and trading him.
I heard about a little bit of Kyrie coming to the Lakers. You heard about that?
I've heard that as well. And here's the thing. I think all of it is complete BS. And at the end of the day, no one is gonna want to pick up Westbrook's contract for 1 year, especially a team that's trying to make a playoff run, because then that's kind of, you got to focus around him. And the only reason it worked for the Lakers last year is because they're able to get a lot of guys on that vet league minimum. The fact that Malik Monk only made, around $2 million last year, and he was probably, I think he was probably the Lakers' third best player. I think he probably was better than Westbrook was at times last year. He's probably going to want to go get paid, so that's going to be interesting to see how the Lakers deal with that. I thought it was always a mistake for them to not prioritize re-signing Caruso. I think that he...
Caruso, well, yeah. He was one of the main pieces of that championship team.
Because he was such a great defender.
Yeah. He was
And LeBron's getting to an age where, you know, it's not like he's a horrible defender. He just can't put that same energy and effort. Same
stamina.
Yeah, that he did in 2020. And, you know, now this is three years that we're going in the third year after he won that ring with the Lakers. And you know, you gotta have young.
There's only so much an old LeBron can do.
I remember watching the last game of the Lakers' regular season, and it was kind of a throwaway game. Didn't really mean anything. The Nuggets had already made the playoffs. Everyone was kind of playing their young guys. But I loved watching that game because, you know, it was a lot of the G League guys. It was, I think Austin Reeves had somewhere near 40 points or something like that.
Really?
Because it was all the young guys, and they were just playing their heart out. If you're a guy that's 35, 36, you're making, you know, mil and a half a year, you kind of don't have that much left to prove. These young guys who are 22, 23, trying to make their way in the league, they're going to play their hearts out every night because they're trying to get paid.
Definitely.
And so I think you got to try to create – if you're the Lakers, you got to try to – I think you almost hit restart this offseason. Let all those old guys go and focus young and see what happens.
Develop the young stars and just see where it takes you, honestly.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I don't think anything's going to happen with Westbrook. It's just too much for – as I said,
has to be better.
It's too much for a team to take on. And also, when you see a player play like that, why would you want to bring someone like that in? I mean – if you're a team, I mean, obviously the Hornets are considering it because, you know, there are a lot of Westbrook fans at the end of the day, as many haters as there are. But it feels like most of the Westbrook haters are Lakers fans. If you're not a Lakers fan, you're like, you know what, you know, maybe Westbrook will bounce back next season. But Lakers fans are like, get him out of here. Like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
I do think at times the criticism is a little bit harsh.
A little
that
bit too much.
But he was pretty much the only Lakers player that's, you know, that big three that stayed healthy last year that, you know, kind of gave his all every night. It just wasn't – that all wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, I'm hoping that it was just kind of an off season for him and that he bounces back and, you know, lets all his hate, you know, feel him rather than let him bring him down and discourage him. You know, I just want to see Westbrook do well, man.
If Westbrook has a great season and if – Anthony Davis could stay healthy, the Lakers could still have a chance with their big three, honestly.
I don't think that's talked enough. How much Anthony Davis has been injured since he's come to the Lakers. I mean, obviously he was great that first year in 2020, but I don't think it's talked about enough. How much his injury has brought down this team.
Yeah, when he's healthy.
He's great, yeah.
He's probably the best center of the league when he's healthy.
It just feels he got that ring, and it just feels like he doesn't care that much anymore. Like, LeBron spends, you know, over $1 million every year taking care of his body, making sure that he's still performing as one of the greatest players in the league. You know, I think he's going to, what, this is his 20th season? So
19, 20?
Yeah, 19
mean,
or 20.
Know,
yeah, we lost count. This guy's been playing for so long. And he's still, you know, you can still argue that he's towards the top of his game. Like, he hasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely not in his prime, but he's still playing really, really well.
Tail end of his prime.
Tail end of his prime.
Tail end of his prime.
There you go, LeBron. AD's got to stay healthy, man. I think people got to hold him accountable for that. It's not just on Westbrook. That big three, they're 11-10. That's crazy. There's only 21 games, 82 games this last regular season that Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James played for the Lakers last season.
Really?
And they were 11-10 in those 21 games. I think they were 0-5 when only one of them played, and I think pretty bad when only two of them played. So, and even when Anthony Davis came back from injury, he didn't look like himself at all. Like, he wasn't really... he wasn't really going for those offensive rebounds. He wasn't really posting up. He was kind of just comfortable hanging around the key. He's got to be more aggressive. I think he's got to get stronger. Because for LeBron, those are two great stars who should be able to carry this team, and LeBron should just kind of become a scorer rather than have to carry this team
shouldn't
on his back.
Shouldn't have to be the best guy out there.
If the Lakers want to be successful next year, this shouldn't be LeBron's team. If this is LeBron's team, I think something's gone wrong. I think LeBron also's got to kind of take a step back and be like, and talk to AD, talk to Westbrook, and be like, you guys got to step up. Like, definitely. I don't know how much longer I can be doing this, because in my opinion, this is LeBron's last year on contract with the Lakers. I would assume that he would re-sign for the year after, because Bronny will be a freshman in college, and then year after he'll be eligible for the NBA draft, and then LeBron will
he's going wherever Bronny's going,
right? And then he'll retire after that. So he's pretty much, you know, unless the Lakers pick up Bronny for some reason in the draft, you know, he's pretty much only got two seasons left to get number five. And I think if he gets number five, that would, you know, I think there'd be a lot of MJ, a lot of people who say that MJ is the GOAT. Maybe, you know, maybe that kind of switches their mind. Never going to switch the mind of Skip Bayless because he hates LeBron. Here's the thing. It would be one of the greatest rings of all time if somehow the Lakers can turn this around in the next 2 years and LeBron wins another ring almost at the age of 40.
Yeah.
That would be do I think it's realistic? No way.
That would be crazy.
Because we were just talking about it. You got to have young guys to win now.
Yeah. They have to develop their young players. They have to have their stars want it more. And LeBron just has to just be the veteran. He can't be the number one guy. He's just got to be there to guide the young stars and the other people.
Even with the Jazz back in the late 90s, Karl Malone was, I think, he won MVP the year that Jordan won ring number six with the Bulls. They beat the Jazz. It was Karl Malone, it was Stockton, they were a great team, but Karl Malone, he kind of hit his prime really late in his career. I think he was 38, 39 when the Bulls won their sixth championship. And, you know, a lot of people thought that was going to be the Jazz year. It would have been their first ring in their franchise history. And, you know, they came up short because, at the end of the day, Karl Malone couldn't give everything on both sides of the ball. You know, we've seen it been going on for years. Like, you got to – and it didn't work with, you know – and then he ended up playing for the Lakers when he was, I think, was almost 40. Like, 2000 after Kobe and Shaq won their third ring, they kind of built, like, an old super team with Gary Payton, Malone, Shaq, Kobe – and they got whooped by the Pistons in the finals. And you know why? Because the Pistons were arguably one of the best defensive teams of all time. And they just locked in, and they were kind of just like that under – they had the underdog mentality, and they whooped the Lakers. Like, you got to have a young team that buys in, that wants to play defense if you want to be successful in this
league. At the end of the day, the old guys they just don't have it. They just don't have enough. They just can't get it done. And that's why you have these young players, these young stars that help the superstars to win. That's why the Warriors work so well. We had so many young guys coming off the bench, like Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Moody, all those guys. They helped the Warriors win, even though they didn't get as much minutes.
So help me out with this one. So he beat the Nuggets in 4 or 5?
Nuggets in five.
Nuggets in five.
Nuggets in five. Nuggets in five. Grizzlies in six. Mavs in five. And then Celtics in six.
Right. So
we didn't face a single elimination game.
I get that. And that just tells you how great this Warriors team was this year. But it also tells you kind of, you know, what the West looked like this year. I think the West is going to be a lot stronger next year. And the fact that the Warriors did not have to play the Suns in the Western Conference Finals, which, by the way, I think would have been an awesome series. Yeah, could have gone seven. The Suns just had a horrible game set. Like, they should have.
Huge. That was
they should have won that series. There's no reason.
There was no excuse for them not to win it. But then here we go playing the Mavs in the Western Conference Finals. Like, that just boosts the confidence of not only the fans but the players too.
I mean, I think the Warriors were pretty well rested. You know, Gary Payton, Iguodala had time to rest to get back for the finals. You know, because they beat the Mavs in five while Boston, gritted out a game seven win against Miami, and they were exhausted. The fact that they won game one, I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Yeah,
I thought it would have been Warriors win game one, Celtics personally, game two. Yeah, once personally. Celtics kind of ease into it, get more comfortable with how the Warriors play. But the fact that Celtics won game one tells you everything you need to know about that team. And I think they'll make a great run next year too. I'm not trying to say it was a cakewalk for the Warriors because I don't think anyone was going to beat them anyways. But like it just seemed like too easy for them, and I don't think that's going to be the case next year. I think the Suns are going to be right back there. I think they'll give the Warriors a run for their money. I'm not even going to mention
Jamal Murray is going to come back for
Nuggets. Jamal Murray is going to come back. Yeah. Zion's going to be back for a Pelicans team that, you know, they didn't look, you know, they pushed Phoenix to six round one. They didn't look too bad. And, you know, having Zion, having Brandon Ingram, a great young team around them. They're only going to
be a pretty good team next year.
They're only going to get better. Zion's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder too. Well, he's been getting a lot of hate for sitting out so long. The Clippers, okay.
Oh yeah, Kawhi, Paul George.
On paper,
they've been gone.
On paper for next year, if everyone's healthy, they're probably the second best team in the league behind the Warriors. And it pains me to say it because I hate the Clippers, but think about it. You get, you know, Norman Powell was kind of a trade that kind of went under the radar last year. He's a great scorer. A great defender. You know, Reggie Jackson's always gonna give other guards hell.
Yeah,
you know, you got Paul George. Obviously, we know what he can do. And then if Kawhi comes back, I think when Kawhi is healthy, he's a top 10 player in the league.
Definitely.
So I think the I think the Clippers will be right there. I think the Suns will be right there. I think the Nuggets will be a lot better.
Yeah.
Because Jokic had no help. And still somehow stole a game from the Warriors. Like, that's back to back. That's a back to back MVP with Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray coming back. So if a lot of these strong Western Conference team can stay healthy, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for the Warriors next year.
Yeah, the West will definitely have a lot more talent spread out. It's going to have a lot of powerhouses.
And Portland.
That's how it really looked a couple years ago, though, with like. All the movement and, you know, and then it just didn't work out because there's so many injuries.
Right.
So you still just never know, honestly.
And Portland just made a move today for Grant from the Pistons. That'll be, you know, that'll give Dame some more help. I think, honestly, Dame will play better, you know, with the strong four rather than with another guard. Yeah. I think, you know, him and McCollum are great for, for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, every time they came up against the Warriors, there was no competition.
They never had enough.
Because, you know, you can't just have two guards and the rest of your team sucks. Like, you gotta have a good guard, you gotta have a good big man. So, yeah, I don't think the Trailblazers is gonna make it past the first round this year, but they'll at least be a little bit better.
I mean, at least make playoffs.
I mean, they got a good young core over there as well. You never know.
The play-in, at least, probably.
Yeah. I think Warriors should be confident. I think they should be proud of what they achieved this last season, but I think they also shouldn't come back too cocky. That's kind of my take on it.
So, James Wiseman coming back. Think about that.
That's true.
If James Wiseman figures out a way to be like a DeAndre Ayton type player, the Warriors are definitely going to be a great team. Like, they're going to have a great chance at winning it back-to-back if James Wiseman comes back healthy and figures out a way to be a great player.
So if the Warriors lose Looney, what do you think is kind of the replacement there, or do you kind of just not panic and you trust Wiseman?
Yeah, you really just trust the young guys, honestly. If we lose Looney, I mean, he's a great player and all, but Looney, he's really just not like the superstar level James Wiseman has that potential to be.
Okay.
Like, and honestly, once James Wiseman comes back, I think they're going to start him over Looney, honestly. Because that's how it was before. Before Wiseman got hurt his rookie season, he was starting over Looney already. And he was playing pretty good. But there were some flashes of superstar in him. But, you know, he had an underwhelming rookie season. But ultimately, I think James Wiseman has a great chance of being the guy next year.
Here's the thing. I disagree with you on that, and that I think the Warriors shouldn't put all their eggs in one basket. That he's still a young big man. That I think it actually would benefit him playing behind. I think if you're the Warriors, you should prioritize re-signing Looney. You know, if he goes, that's on him. But if you are able to re-sign him, I think that'd be great for Wiseman to kind of get that experience under a big man who's really proved himself in this league, has won 3 rings. So, you know, if Looney does go, I wouldn't just throw Wiseman in there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you saw, like, the Warriors were really cautious with Klay about, like, how they brought him back after injury. Like, everyone's like, when is he going to come back? Like, come on. Like, I thought he was going to come back, like, November, and he ain't come back till January. So, obviously, the Warriors like to take their time and kind of ease players back into it. So, you know, maybe they go for Gobert or something like that. Like, how would you feel about that?
I don't know. I feel like James Wiseman, like, I just truly believe that he could be really good. And I don't think the Warriors need that extra star. I think we just need that, like, a really just solid big man, like Looney, like, just another, like, Looney guy. And Wiseman can be like Looney and even better and even more.
I think what makes Looney special, though, is just, like, is how well he rebounds the ball. I think he averaged almost 7 or 8 rebounds during the NBA Finals. And, like, before that, you know, in the Mavs series and the Grizzly series, he was a monster on the offensive rebounds. Yeah. And when you have a big man who's bringing this offensive rebounds, kicking it back out to Steph, you know, he's knocking down a three, like, those second chance points are huge. Those would be games in the postseason. Yeah, yeah. I think his value is really underrated. But I think, again, he should get paid.
He really,
for
sure.
Definitely. I think if you're that the, you know, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, if you're the Warriors, you know, you have a lot of key guys who are free agents. You got Gary Payton II. You got to worry about re-signing him. Iguodala wants to come back. I mean, you could probably sign him for a veteran minimum. Nothing to worry about there. Otto Porter Jr. We haven't even mentioned
huge.
Him. We haven't
Otto
mentioned
was
him.
Definitely huge. He was a huge vet coming off the bench for us, and the Warriors need him. If I'm gonna be honest, and then him starting in the finals was a big move too. Like we honestly need to re-sign. I think we really need to focus on re-signing Looney, Payton, and Otto. That's it.
Okay.
That's all we need. Because those three guys were huge off the bench for us.
Yeah, I don't think Bielitsa really has a role if Wiseman's coming back, right?
Yeah.
So, no. I mean, he was good when his name was called, but I think...
We really don't need him.
I think Iguodala is just kind of like a situation with Udonis Haslem on the Heat now, where he's an older player, but he just want him for that locker room presence. Like, that was kind of what Jared Dudley was to the Lakers in 2020. A lot of people kind of made fun of him. He wasn't that good, but, like, at the end of the day, he was in that locker room when they're lifting up that Larry O'Brien championship trophy. So, I think there's a lot of promise for a lot of good young teams in the NBA next year. And I'm just glad that it's like we're not seeing the Warriors and the Cavs in the finals every year. I'm glad that it's kind of we've seen something different since 2019 every year.
Yeah, I feel like back when it was Warriors and Cavs, you knew it was them because that's where it was. That's where all the stars were, really.
Right.
And nowadays, you never know because all the stars are spread out in every team in the West and in the East. So now it's just like you never know what team. Even though the Warriors are playing so good, they still might not. It's not guaranteed like how it was back in like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Well, congrats on being a Warriors fan and having such an amazing team.
Thank you.
I think that's all we pretty much got for you guys today. Thank you, Ethan, for coming on the show.
It's been real fun being on the show. You know, I'll be glad to be come back.
Yeah, we'd love to have you again.
I'm glad to come back.
We'd love to have you again soon, Prez. All right.
Yes, sir.
Take it easy, guys. Yep. Thanks for tuning in.